in your ears from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples, the Coast Salish people. And yeah, it's an incredibly rainy day in Vancouver. We're recording this on Monday, December 4th. You're hearing this on December 6th. Hopefully it's a little less rainy by then, but the atmospheric river is just kicking our butts right now. It is very wet. And so I ask my compatriot from the City of Angels, how are you handling the weather?
This is more of the rain that I'm used to. Mm. Just straight up torrential.
Yeah.
Torrential, and then we're done.
When it rains, it pours.
When it rains, it pours. Definitely. Definitely. But we're cozy here.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to talk about our Spotify Wrapped.
I feel like it was only, you know, considering our first technically our first episode of this was talking about Spotify Wrapped, at the start. I feel like it was appropriate that we go back to return to the topic now that it's that time of year again, when everyone gets to you know, post a nice little infographic on their Instagram story and just, you know, let everyone know what their taste is if they're brave enough to expose such a really, you know, quite a kind of a personal side of yourself there.
Absolutely.
That you're putting out there.
Did you post?
Yeah, I posted. You didn't know that I posted?
No.
Oh, you're a fake friend.
Dude, I don't like, sometimes like I don't go through my Instagram stories because it's just like so time consuming. But I guess you do usually pop up in the front. No, I did see that you posted. You're like, I trust Young Metro, trust me. I didn't post, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember you posting after I
don't. I've never posted.
You. Fair enough. I think it's just kind of fun to join in on the party. Also because I'm nosy enough that I like to see other people's, so I feel like it's only fair if I post myself, because you can only ask of others what you'd ask of yourself.
Respect.
And so if I want to see what other people are doing, I need to do it myself. So yeah.
I don't remember us talking about our rap from last year, but do we want to quickly...
Well, I mean, we did talk about our rap from
last year. What were your top five songs from last year? I want to know yours.
Oh, what were they?
You can see mine right here.
We have for Hugh's top five from last year, it's Falling Back by Drake. We have A Keeper by Drake, Nikes by Frank Ocean, Not You Too by Drake and Chris Brown, and Massive by Drake. Very well rounded.
Top artist was Drake.
I mean, last year, I'm not better, though. I'm no better.
What did you do last year?
Last year, it was Savior by Kendrick Lamar, N95 by Kendrick Lamar, Family Ties, Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar, Inda Club, 50 Cent.
Okay.
And then All Right, Kendrick.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's literally the same.
Yeah. And then this year, the way it goes is the top five are, or four of the top five are, again, all from the same artist. Which is just kind of embarrassing. Like, it feels...
Does it feel accurate?
Yeah, like, it's definitely true. Like, I feel like that's kind of the reality of the situation. But when you're putting that on the Instagram story, that's like, dang, now people are going to think I only listen to, like, one thing. Because 6 through 10 sees way more variance than 1 through 5. Number one...
We'll start with 6 through 10, then.
Oh, really? Okay, sure.
Because I want to see what the...
So...
Because I don't remember your 1 through 5.
Okay, so it goes...
Go 10 down. Go 10 down. I'm curious what Spotify thinks you're 10 most. Because I feel like 5, like I said, I don't think that the top 5 are your most streamed songs. I think it's just the combination of like your listening habits. But I think 10, is a better
encapsulation
sample of what you actually listen to in mass. So go from 10 down.
All right.
And then tell me if you think it's valid.
Okay. I'm going to preface with, I do think it's valid.
All 10 spots.
Yeah, I think they're fair.
Okay.
I think it's good enough, a pretty accurate reflection. Also, like, in general, I'm just not one to really, like, be like, oh, my Spotify Wrapped is so inaccurate. Because it's like, one, I feel like it's always been a pretty decent reflection. And two, it's based on data. So I don't want to argue with it too much, because like I don't really remember what I was listening to in January of last year, so I'll just roll with it. Except they do, and it was the, you know, a lot of the four of the five songs that made the top. Anyway, so we kick it off at number 10 with Fast Car, the Luke Combs cover.
Oh, wow.
I really like that.
Wow. What's your favorite version of that song?
Yeah, I mean, that might be inflated a bit by density because I listened to it a lot in a short period of time. So
I wonder. I think it could perhaps be inflated by the density with which,
because that wasn't like a year-long listening experience. I mean, it only came out in
September or something.
No, well, was it September
or May? I can't remember.
No, I was listening to it over the summer, but it was like the end of the school year. I think it was like April or something. Anyway, Fast Car, Luke Combs cover, and then we have Metro Spider.
Oh wow, Thug, that's Metro that Boomer. High up. Okay,
and then. Lean With Me by Juice WRLD.
Wow.
Again, I think a bit of a density effect with Lean With Me too. I was listening to it a lot in a short space.
When was this?
Like February, March, I want to say. It was also just in my head a lot. It was very catchy. My Eyes, Travis Scott, comes in at 7, which, yeah, yep. the best song on Utopia, probably one of them, one of the two best. 6 is Escapism by Ray.
Wow.
And 07 O'Shea.
I totally forgot about that song. That's a cool song.
Yeah, I kind of forgot. Like, I didn't forget about it, but it being in this playlist made me re-listen to it and re-reminded me of just how freaking good that song is.
She didn't kick off like I thought she was going to.
But just, dude, I just love, like, the structure of that song.
Oh,
everything.
That's why I thought that she was about to go on a roll, because that song is all over the place, but still so coherent.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome song. I forgot about that song.
And then we enter the top five, in which 4 of the 5 are from the same album. Too Many Nights, Metro
that
Boomin,
album.
Don Toliver.
I thought it was going to be Kendrick.
And then it's Creepin', Metro Boomin. Because that's why I made the comment about I had to gain Metro Boomin's trust this year, because I was remarking on how it's all songs from that album. Creepin', and then No More Talk by Yeet.
Wow.
Which got a snippet played on the show when it came out. But yeah, that song in particular was like the entire reason why I was excited for the Yeet concert, was just that song.
Really?
Effectively. Because it's his best song, in my opinion. And it's also, like, it... What am I trying to say? I feel like it's his most, like, artistic piece, too, kind of. I don't know.
Can you remember why?
The production is insane.
Is that Benny?
Benny X. And I love... And it's... the song really... My favorite, like, little thingy that Benny X does differently is he will bring his producer tag back in a bunch throughout the course of the song in, like, little snippets, like the stutter of just the... I'm working on dying, but just the... And he uses it as, like, an ad-lib or as, like, punctuation, kind of.
He does?
Well, Benny X does, like, in this beat. Like, that tag just continuously recurring throughout the beat of the song. And I just think that's a very unique use of the producer tag. Because, like, I also just think producer tags are a really cool concept in general. And I love how he's using it not just at the start, but he's using it throughout. Is like an element of the beat itself. And I just think that's really cool. Then it's Superhero, Metro Boomin and Future, of course. And then Umbrella, 21 Savage, Metro Boomin, and Young Nudie.
Is that the... You think you listen to that song the most?
Yeah, probably. Like, honestly, like, either it or Superhero.
Okay.
But I think Umbrella... I think it said I played it 78 times.
Oh.
Which, yeah, I listen to it a lot.
Wow, okay.
How about you? What's your analysis of your top 10 here?
I'm never a fan of my Spotify Wrapped, but I find that's often because when they apparently stop monitoring on October 31st.
Yeah, that's like the last.
I don't understand why that's still a thing, considering the robots can kind of synthesize everything at the speed of instantly, and I find that it really distorts my rap for the next year. Like, Her Loss came out in November, and I listened to Her Loss a lot from all of November to December. But by the time January came around, I wasn't listening to it that much. But then the next year, the rap was like all of those songs were at the top. And I was like, those shouldn't be there. Those should be in last year's because I kind of left those in the year. But because it stops cutting it off 2 months before the year ends, I always think the data is wrong. And so, I mean, there's a few songs on here that I'm truly stunned with. I did not think would be in here. But about seven of these, I think, are really should be there. But yeah, I'm not one who thinks Wrapped is like, these are actually the top five songs you stream the most. I think it's like five songs that captured your listening habits the best, which is almost, I used to care about Wrapped a lot more, honestly. I used to listen to songs like, oh, I wonder where this will be in my Wrapped. But once I realized calculations cut off on Halloween, it kind of soured my whole thing for it because it made me realize that, like, it's not that accurate at that point because there's so much listening that I do in the 6 weeks after that. Like, there's like three For All the Dogs songs on here.
Well, and really, you're only missing out on a month because October 31st ends the entire month of November and it's the beginning of December. And
yeah, yeah. I don't remember Spotify rap coming up this early. I thought it used to be like December 6th and 7th. So I used to be like 5-6 weeks. But those are 5-6 weeks where albums I really like have tend to drop. Like For All the Dogs dropped on like October 22nd. It was either October 6th or 2 weeks after that. And Her Loss dropped like in that kind of limbo period. And that has really distorted the last few of my raps, but I still like enjoy. Like if I go, I went back and I just clicked shuffle on my 2018 one, and I was like, yeah, this sounds like what I used to listen to. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not in the right order, but I think that I'm kind of used to the order never being correct. But my top 10 start off with Say Something, which is one that I didn't even expect to be in my Say Something by Lil Yachty from Let's Start Here. I didn't think this would even be in my Wrapped because I haven't really listen to this song that much since the album came out, which was I think last year.
Yeah, that was one of the first albums we talked about on this show.
Yeah,
that was like February or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I really didn't, and because like I don't really know where you can listen to that record. Like that's a really cool record when you're kind of like driving down the highway, and you have time to listen to like these expansive songs, but at UBC, I've never really had time to just sit and listen. So this is a song I'm shocked is on here, but I do really like the song. Is it one of my 10 songs of the year? I don't think so. But, I mean, maybe it says something that I do enjoy kind of. I mean, I guess, you know what, that should be there because I talk about how much I enjoy when artists diverge from their beaten path and make different kind of music. So maybe there's a writing on the wall. But number 9 is Hours in Silence, which I listen to.
By Drake and 21 Savage.
Yeah, which I always listen to. I often kind of spam it because it's kind of a joke you and I have where we just keep playing the song. I love that song.
Just the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, as soon as he starts going slow, then like I restart the song. But number 8 is Mona Lisa by Dominic Fike, written for the Spider-Verse film. Mm-hmm. I was listening to that song so much. In fact, there's a moment when we're talking about that record where I say, oh, I have Mona Lisa in my playlist twice because I'm enjoying that song so much. So I think that's accurately there. I mean, I actually didn't really enjoy Sunburn as much as his previous record, as a Dominic Fike, but I love Mona Lisa. My 7th song, which is the song I thought would be the most streamed song, is Resentment by Party Next Door. I was listening to this like every day for like since from like May to like mid-October, like every day. And then when I would like click a song and it would rotate into like songs like it, this song would come up so much. So I ended up listening to it more than I probably would have liked to, but I really love that song and I'm excited for his next record. My number 6 is the 3rd song on here that I'm kind of shocked with, which is Rolling Stone by Brent Faiyaz. I've spoken a bit about how much I've enjoyed Wasteland by Brent, which came out 18 months ago now, which is kind of another reason I'm shocked by Rolling Stone being on there. But that's a really cool song. I love Brent, so it's cool with it being in there. My top five, this is probably a better top five than I usually get. At least, like, some of the songs that I would expect to be in there are in there. Number five being Moyabi Ghost by Tiny and Bad Bunny, which is probably my second favorite song of the year. I thought it would have been higher.
This is the right button.
But Moyabi Ghost by Tiny and Bad Bunny. This is one of my favorite songs of the year. I absolutely love this song. I love the drums. I love Bad Bunny's chorus. My number four song, which is probably my favorite song of the year, if I had to do this on songs I like, this would be the top, which is Telekinesis. I've talked about how much I love Telekinesis by Travis Scott with Future and SZA. My number three is Love You Better by Future. This is one of my favorite Future songs, but it's largely because I love the beat. I love the beat on Love You Better. ATL Jacob really bodied a lot of the beats on this record. Like, Wait For You is incredible, which is probably on here somewhere. My second one, which is probably the thing I'm most shocked with, is Search and Rescue by Drake.
I don't know, man. As someone who lives with you, that was always coming out of your bedroom for a stretch there.
For a little while, but this song came out when? Like, September of last year? It was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was last year, but again, we talked about it when it came out on the show.
Exactly.
So it was not September.
And then we talked about how much we enjoyed it and then how much it tailed off. Which is kind of one of those things where I probably did listen to it a lot and then it fell off. So I'm shocked that this is this high.
I think it made a comeback for you. I think the way you felt about the song was, oh, this is so... And then...
For a little bit.
And then you got, like, wishy-washy, and then you warmed back up to it.
I mean, I'm right now, I'm wishy-washy. Especially with, like, everything that's come out since. And my number one song, which is truly a shock for me, is Snooze by SZA. I think when we talked about this album when it came out a year ago, I think I said this was my favorite track. I didn't think that it was my most played track of the year, but it is a fantastic song. It probably also got boosted by the fact that, like, 7-8 months after we talked about it, it blew up. So then it was kind of a hit, and that probably boosted the numbers because I was kind of re-listening to it, which is interesting that that would happen. But, yeah, I mean, I like my top five. I think last year's is a bit more accurate. Just of, like, this, the expanse of the entire year. But, I mean, I think that it's my top 10 are an accurate sample of what I listen to, which is a lot of Drake, except there's only two Drake songs in my top 10. A lot of Drake. I do love my Latin music. I loved Utopia, and I love that SZA record. So I think, yeah, this is pretty accurate with... And there's Falling Back.
Yep.
Still in the top 15.
Of course. Yeah, I feel like for me, I feel like when looking back on this stuff, you're kind of reminded by how much just, like I'll go through stretches where I'll add, like, four songs to my liked songs, and then those four songs are always the first four songs I'm trying to listen to whenever I listen to music, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, and then another four enter the mix or something happens and you just kind of lose interest over time. But Spotify Wrapped is always kind of a reminder of, like, the stretches of when you were listening to a song a lot.
Exactly.
Like, Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift is up here pretty high for me. And that's a song where, yeah, there was a stretch where I was listening to it quite a bit. And then, like, nothing before that and nothing after that. But during that period was enough repetition to put it... I'm looking at this on my phone, so I can't see the exact numbers, but top 20, it looks like. But I think the other thing maybe with that, too, is... just the amount of times you actually need to I think the barrier to entry to a Spotify Wrapped is actually, like, not that high. Like you said, it said that you listened to Snooze 59 times.
79 or something.
79. And for me, it was like 78 times listening to Umbrella for it to be my number one, which 78 translating to the one spot in the grand scheme of every single song you ever listened to in a year. Like, yeah, that is like quite a lot of streams, like the percentage. But at the same time, it's fairly simple to get to. But at the same time, if you have a 2-week stretch where you listen to a song daily, that's 14 streams, which all of a sudden, with kind of knowing the like scale of how many times you need to listen to a song in a year for it to get a particular ranking, all of a sudden, like, that can boost it quite a bit.
This is probably the first year where my top song hasn't been played triple digits.
Mm.
Like, last year, Falling Back was 219.
219?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then the year before was Good Days, which I had at 181. Mm. So that's why I'm kind of confused, because I know for a fact that I listen to songs more than I listen to Snooze. Like, I was listening to Telekinesis, like, 4 times a day for, like, 8 weeks. Like, I listened to Telekinesis a lot. But now I'm looking at 2016. That is a wild one.
You're listening to Telekinesis a lot?
I listen to Telekinesis a ton. Definitely, like, if I... And... but then we looked at my all-time records, and Snooze was number 9. So it must be pretty accurate. Having my top song only have 79 plays is definitely probably the lowest I've ever had for a top song. But maybe it makes sense.
The other thing, too, is you probably forget when it comes to the ranking of these things, too. Like, I think there's a lot of recency bias that probably informs this stuff, too.
Probably.
Informs attitudes towards this stuff. Because, like, SZA came out the end of last year, so you're listening to it at the beginning of this year, and Telekinesis came out this summer, so it's been far more pertinent in your life recently than Snooze was, but yet you just kind of forget kind of that you were listening to that much as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, at the end of the day, like, to an extent, it's data. It would be interesting to see how the stuff is calculated. If it
Definitely.
Is just, because even if it is just raw of just listen numbers, I'd still like to see all those numbers. I would like to know more than just the number one.
Same.
I'd like to see a full breakdown of this, because I think that would just be really interesting to look at.
This is the first year my Spotify rap has had a true flaw, which is this song I've never heard.
What's the song called?
Daneika by Eric with the C followed by 2 Chinese characters. 2008.
Yeah.
I have... Well, there it is. I have no idea when I've ever... Like, I've truly never heard this song before. Dude, I swear to God. Like, everything else on here... Okay, I really like If Looks Could Kill, even though, like, I'm kind of confused. Like, Last Night, yeah, I listened to Last Night a lot. We get further down. Like, this 2-minute Jonas Brothers song.
Mm-hmm.
This old, old Drake song. Like, yeah, I remember listening to them a lot. I remember listening to, there's Wait For You, there's another song. But I have absolutely zero recollection ever listening. The only thing I can think of, dude, is that Spotify counts every like, if you play a song for a second, it counts as a tick. And I'm wondering if this is just in my Spotify party mix, and it was always in there, and I was just skipping it, but because it came up and ticked, it got in there.
That's way too low.
The only way, because...
That's some Facebook type
dude,
stuff.
Dude, because this is not even the house music I like, dude. Like, there's no pop song on this. Like, this, for me, really kind of waters down the entirety of Spotify rap, because I've truly never heard that song. And it's 41. It's behind K-pop, which is one of my favorite songs of the year. Or it's in front of K-pop. Like, that is is really strange to me. And it makes me think that it's kind of just a conglomeration of what it thinks. Like, I wonder if Spotify is doing this. Like, yeah, when you look back at this in 2 years, like, I wonder if it's taking a perspective of that, because it makes no sense that this song would be even close. But
maybe it just autoplayed one night in your sleep and you didn't even know.
Perhaps.
I don't know. That is very strange.
Really strange. Really strange.
Especially when you, like, that artist, when you were looking at their profile, they didn't seem...
They have a single song.
Yeah, that's the only song that they've ever put out.
From 2008, which makes me think that this whole thing is kind of just fake. Which would kind of suck, because I actually kind of really get excited for Spotify Wrapped. But this is such a flaw, dude. I've never heard this song before in my life, man. I mean, maybe we'll play it. Like, it's just like a really old, like, it sounds like a song that you would put in the back of like an old school Minecraft intro.
Yeah.
Like, dun 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 dun.
Yeah, something with a nice
dun,
quick drop.
Exactly.
So you can put your little 3D animated Minecraft character
exactly
on the screen or something.
Yeah, like 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, but anyways, I think that, I mean, another thing I wanted to bring up is that my Spotify Wraps kind of become increasingly the same. Like,
The monoculture is arriving.
Apparently, like,
the individual monoculture.
I'm pretty sure passion fruit has been on every single one of my Wraps since 2016.
Yeah, there's... Like, my top artists year over year do not vary very much.
No.
You know,
I mean,
there is some variance. Like, when I first got into the Beatles and was listening to the Beatles all the time, like, yeah, they were the number one, and that was a unique moment. One year I had Lin-Manuel Miranda as my number one artist.
Damn.
Because
I was... How'd you feel about that?
Listening to... it was the truth. Like, I was listening to that much Hamilton to where it was warranted. A little embarrassing throwing that one up on the story, I guess. But at the same time, no, because I have a lot of theater friends, so...
What's the oldest rap you have?
Oldest one I have is 2018.
And give me that top 10. I'll give you my oldest top 10, which is such a moment, dude.
How do I find this?
You just... Oh, if you don't have it saved, it might be hard.
Yeah, you talk about yours, because I have the screenshot of the graphic, but I don't know if I have that playlist saved. So talk about yours, the oldest you go.
The oldest one I have is 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the strangest playlists I've ever seen. So it was the end of 8th grade going into 9th grade. So it's when I was like really in old school music and I'm transitioning into... contemporary music. So like half of this is 80s songs. Like, my top song is How to Save a Life by The Fray, followed by I Took a Pill in Ibiza, then One Dance, then The Man Who Can't Be Moved, then Your Love by The Outfield, then The Middle by DJ Snake.
Okay. I am very confused, because I found the playlist of your top songs 2018, and the top five there is different.
Who's
than
it
the
curated for?
Top...
Check at the top.
It said made for my account.
Let me see.
It says made for Alex RB40.
Is that accurate?
Well, it's not what's in the screenshot I have from that same year of the list, so... I don't know what happened. I don't know why it's different, but it is. But we can talk about the stuff on the screenshot.
No, it's not different. I just think that...
Like, the ordering is different, though.
It's all the same except for... Oh, you're right, it is.
Yeah, the ordering's different.
I was gonna
talking
say,
to the mic
oh,
more,
they,
man.
I was just going to say, oh, they removed Element because Money Tree's Welcome to the Party, but that is so strange.
It doesn't matter. I only had Spotify for like half of that year. So it wasn't even like that complete in the first place. But yeah, I mean, it, dude, like, it's not that different. Like, it's still just Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, yeah.
With a Diplo song in there with Welcome to the Party, which is the greatest performance Lil Pump has ever given. Diplo, French Montana.
What about Lil that Pump one with...
It was for the Deadpool 2 soundtrack.
What about that song with Kanye where they dressed up as a...
No.
Water. That no. song's so funny.
That song is... Ooh. Yeah, but it's not good, though. It's hilarious, but it's not good. Welcome to the Party, Lil Pump legitimately goes
off. I've never
off.
Heard that song
before. I will... This is his best. If he did this every time, he would not be where he is right now.
Damn.
That is my statement
on
Lil Pump.
That's crazy. Anyways, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
My number one song in 2020 was Blueberry Faygo by Lil Mosey.
Wow. Wow. Holy crap. Mine was...
I was embarrassed about that when I saw that, though. I was like, that was very much influenced by a stretch at, like, the beginning of the pandemic.
I'd say 2020 is probably the most accurate Spotify Wrapped I had.
Okay.
But that was the year I had, like, 150,000 minutes listened because I would just sit at home and play Call of Duty all day and literally listen to music for, like, 8 hours for, like... 2 months there when we couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I literally would just have like music on constantly. So I think this is the most. Mine is. There was a Neon Trees record that came out that year that I was so into, and the top song is from that record. But then it's Feel No Ways, Drake, Split Decision, After Hours, Dragon Ball Durag, Jungle, more Neon Trees, After Hours.
Yeah, I think like. I think when it comes to this, yeah, the top end, I feel like, is less illustrative of your listening habits than the like 50 to 100 stuff.
Absolutely.
Because that actually shows like the variation in what you were listening to over the course of the year, because your favorite stuff is still just going to rise to the top every single time.
What was your bottom song on this playlist?
For this year?
Mm-hmm.
It was... Oh, man. Number 100 was Many Men.
Wow.
By 21 Savage. Not the 50 Cent song, okay. But one that samples but pays homage to the 50 Cent song.
Mine is Passion Fruit.
There you go.
Which is, I mean, I guess I listen.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't put it past you.
I mean, the one thing that really kind of...
I felt like Rose Colored Lenses by Miley Cyrus should have been higher. It's like 95th.
Let me think of... Oh, I have no more talk. I wonder how many songs we have similar, like... Like, Stay is on here. I can't remember the last time I ever listened to Stay, man.
Yeah, but you were big into that song, though.
But that song came out in, like, 2021, dude.
Yeah, but still, Passion Fruit came out in 2017, 2016, but yeah, it's still there, too.
And that's what I was going to say, and I was like, the problem with this is that I have a certain playlist mm-hmm. that I listen to very often, and it's, like, 400 songs, and I haven't edited it in a long time.
Yeah.
And I click it. And I listen to it for like 45 to an hour, like every day. So those songs just are almost all in here.
Selection bias. There we go. But yeah.
Shout out the Less I Know the Better. It's been in every single one of my raps. So 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So it's been in 8.
There you go.
The only song that's been in all of them.
Wow.
Passion Fruit missed 1 year.
Shout out Team Impala. Getting it done.
Yeah. That song never gets old. Anyways.
What song should we play?
Should we rock, paper, scissors over which number one we should play?
Ooh, my number one's a little violent for the radio.
Search and Rescue?
No, we already played Search and Rescue, though. Yeah, we did when it came out. We haven't played Snooze yet.
Are we certain we haven't played Snooze?
Ooh.
Let's check. Snooze. Yeah, we might have played Snooze.
I don't think it was Snooze, though.
It might have been Nobody Gets Me.
This is, anyway, this makes for great radio hosting. How are you guys doing out there in your car?
Oh, have you tried the DJ Wrapped yet?
No, I've not. Oh, but I've seen that they've made some modifications to it.
Yeah, and it brings up a bunch of songs that were not in my... We played Nobody Gets Me. That's what I thought.
Cool, we can play Snooze then.
All right. So this is my most streamed song of 2023. My favorite song off of SZA's awesome record, SOS, this is Snooze. I think I know.
testify for you. I do that 3-4 times again, I testify for you. I sort of like you, that I do it all and I'm around, you're scared to do. I'm not, long as you joking, now in for me, I ain't got it. Mobbing, scheming, looting, hide your bodies. Long as you dreaming about me, ain't no problem. I don't got nobody just with you right now. Tell the truth, I look better under you. I can't lose when I'm with you. How can us lose and miss the moment? You're just too important. Nobody do body like you do. I can't lose when I'm with you. I can just lose and miss the moment. You're just too important. Nobody do body like you do. You do. In the drop top ride with you, I feel like Scarface. Like that white with the bob, I'll be your main one. Let's take this argument back up to my place. Remind you I'm not violent, I'm your day one. We had, yeah, it was magic, yeah. Smash and grab, yeah. Nasty habits take a hold when you're not here. Ain't a home when you're not here. Hard to grow when you're not here, I'm saying. I can't lose when I'm with you. How can I lose and miss the moment? You're just too important. Nobody do body like you do. I can't lose. Snooze and miss the moment. You're just too important. Nobody, nobody like you do. You do.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 Hours of Radio Art Programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings, and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fails, sound art, and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
And we back, and we back, and we back from the song that was Snooze by SZA. Hugh, a little birdie told me, I mean, my last name's Bird, so one of my cousins told me that last week you were at the 1975 concert.
I was. I went with some good friends, myself and my friends. We went to the 1975 Still at Their Very Best tour
at Rogers Arena.
Those late nights at the Raj, man. We were on the floor and I was looking up and I was like, man, this isn't that big. And then like a few drinks later, I was like, oh my God, this is such a big arena. But anyways, yeah, I was at the 1975 and I've been really into the 1975 since probably, I want to say fifth grade, which would be 2013. Man. First song I heard from the 1975 was in 2013, and it was The City, I want to say. And I've been like kind of obsessed with them ever since. It's kind of, obviously it goes up and down, but every time they drop a record, I stop everything and listen. This was the first time I'd seen them in concert, and it was honestly, it might have been the best show I'd been to.
Really?
Yeah. The only other show that I'm thinking is better was The Weeknd at Coachella. Mm. That just felt so big. Mm-hmm. And like the stakes just felt big even though I had nothing in it. It was just like, oh, wow. But arena performances, that was better than the It's All a Blur, at least for me. And I think it was because the instruments were played live. And because the instruments were played live, you could feel the emotion. Like, yeah, everything was palpable. And Matty Healy, the front man, his persona and control of the crowd, and he was just absolutely unbelievable. It was so good. It was probably the best crowd I'd ever been with. They were just, not only were they like intaking the emotion that the band was giving out, but they were generating so much, singing. It was just like an awing experience. It was awesome. It was just like that's how music is meant to be digested. Just like, it just felt so palpable, particularly songs like Robbers and About You and Falling For You and Somebody Else. Robbers was unbelievable. The crowd was singing and he was screaming and it was just so good. It was one of my favorite shows of all time. And that got me thinking, you and I should talk about some of our shows we've liked to, people we want to go see, people we've seen and we were disappointed with, people we were impressed with. But man, dude, I have seen a lot of people because LA has festivals. So yeah. I go to those festivals.
Vancouver has festivals too, but people don't show up half the freaking time.
Yeah, and LA also has like 8 or 9 massive ones. So I get to see like 12 people at a time. And maybe that's why this show was so good, because it was just fans of them.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible, man. It was honestly amazing. But it was out of people I've seen by themselves, just in concert. I mean, I can't think of anyone who was as good. Fleetwood Mac was pretty good, actually.
Fleetwood Mac would be awesome. Fleetwood Mac would be a fun time.
Yeah.
For me, I'm thinking about...
But for me, you have to be in the pit. And that's like one of the reasons I think it was so good was because I was in the pit. And everyone in the pit at a show for that artist... Oh, well, actually, Astroworld was unbelievable. But Astroworld was kind of unbelievable because of the crowd. Because the crowd was just like ridiculous. I don't know how much he was performing and how much he was just screaming.
Yeah.
Matty Healy was actually singing everything and they were playing everything, but Astroworld was unbelievable.
Yeah, I've only been to 4 concerts now.
Can you rank them?
Yeah. I'll go...
Yeah, what's 4? Go 4-1.
4-1? Oh, gosh. I guess Yeet kind of has to be 4.
Oh, I forgot about Yeet.
Because people kept shoving and so they kept cutting songs off and you know, I don't really. Well, he was a lot of fun because you're jumping around, but it.
The crowd, I think the demographic of the crowd was so shocking for me that I spent a lot of the show like kind of just like.
I was kind of expecting that crowd.
Really, I was not.
Yeah.
It was just children, man.
I mean, yeah, that's like that's his primary demographic.
Dude, I thought it was gonna be people.
We've talked about this before. Anyway,
I forgot we saw Yeet.
Yeah, we have limited time here, so I don't want to like go off on too many tangents. But yeah, Yeet was good. But I think just the fact that songs got cut off so much is kind of the main detriment. And then I think three, honestly, man, like I was. All the reasons why I really enjoyed the Travis Scott concert. It was a lot of fun. It was a very good time.
Utopia?
Utopia, yes. But I'm putting it three, and it's only three because of my own. It's my own fault. Number one is I probably should have listened to the set list beforehand, but I didn't. And so I was kind of expecting more older Travis stuff. So I wasn't like up as much as I should have been on a lot of the Utopia songs. Like, obviously I knew them, but like, I don't know all the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my ability to enjoy a song in a concert setting like that is directly proportional to how many of the words I know to that song, because that's just my own ability to get immersed in it.
Did he play all of Utopia?
He played.
Did he play Telekinesis?
Yeah, he finished with Telekinesis.
Damn.
Telekinesis was so good. Anyway, but so that was part of it. Is just I don't like know all the words to all the songs on Utopia yet, and so because of that, I couldn't like be as necessarily into what was going on. That's kind of a more minor reason. The primary reason is my seat choice. Because I got seats in the upper deck because, you know, I'm not trying to splurge a couple $100, $1,000 on Travis Scott floor seats where I'm just going to suffocate the whole time anyway because I'm 5'6". And so I won't be able to breathe down there. And so, anyway, we were up in the upper bowl. And the seats that I had bought, they keep the staircases illuminated for safety reasons, obviously. But it's just like one small spotlight that just lights up the staircase. Mm-hmm. And there are suites behind my section, and the seats. So normally the seats go like all the way to the back, but because there were suites that go all the way to the back, the staircase gets cut off. And so at a point, and so where most sections in the arena, the stairs would keep going up to the top, and there would be no light on any of the seats because there was the suites there and the staircase gets cut off. They just put seats across that top of the stairwell too, so like we were sitting like the stairs were directly beneath my seat pretty much, and because of that aforementioned spotlight, I was illuminated the whole show because of safety. You gotta keep the stairs illuminated, but I'm effectively sitting on the staircase, and so I had a spotlight on me the whole time, and even though obviously no one's looking at me, I just felt very exposed.
Okay.
And I wasn't like in the darkness. Because, like, you know, all the lights are off and stuff, and just there's the singular focus on the stage, but I wasn't, like, in that darkness, and I wasn't, and because you're on the stairwell, too, you're kind of more aware of the things that are going on, like, people moving around, and so just because of that, the immersion was so much, was worse. Mm-hmm. Because of that. If I had bought seats anywhere else in the building, in any other section, it would have been fine. That would have not happened, and I only would have had my own lack of knowledge of the lyrics of whatever song you want to bring up. But instead, it was also just the spotlight.
So just a lot of bad luck.
So just kind of bad luck and more like environmental factors. Obviously, Travis Scott is a sensational performer whose energy is unmatched. Energy is insane, and like the presentation of everything, like the visuals on the screen were so cool. Just he puts on a freaking show, man. So it's a three, but it's only really a three because of my own fault.
Yeah.
Number two, I guess, would then be Billie Eilish was cool. That was just a good time, you know. Lights were off, not in a spotlight, felt pretty immersed in that. And then one is going to be Kendrick Lamar.
Why?
Because I know all the words, knew all the words to all the songs he was performing, so I was just super into it. Also, Kendrick, phenomenal performer as well. And, like, he's not one of those people who's going to have, like, a backing track and just kind of interject his own words. And Travis was rapping a lot of it, mostly himself, too. But, like, Kendrick was just saying pretty much every single word in all of the songs that he could, you know, breathing, permitting.
Fair enough, man.
But, yeah, he just... Kendrick put it all out there.
This was the
Mr. Morale tour.
Okay.
And it was a good mix of Mr. Morale songs and older songs mm-hmm. as well. Whereas with Travis, it was really only Utopia. And he did play some songs from Birds, some songs from Astroworld, but like two from each of those albums sort of thing. As well as like an unreleased song, which I wasn't familiar with because I don't move in those circles very much. But it was like entirely Utopia, which is fine. That's the album that just came out. So,
yeah.
But I also appreciate like Kendrick kind of going more throughout, more of just getting like all the hits, as opposed to like more of like the deep cutty stuff.
What artist? Give me two. Or give me three artists. Give me your top three artists that you haven't seen that you want to see.
Oh, man. I think Tyler, the Creator, would be a lot of fun to see live. Because he's... like, from the clips I've seen, he just kind of does stand-up comedy up there half the time. So I think Tyler's definitely one of those people. Like, Kanye would be a lot of fun. I love his music. I don't think I'd want to give him the money, but in an alternate universe, like a Kanye West Eras tour would be...
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like, one of the greatest hip-hop tours of all time. And then... I guess just people who I really like and want to listen to. Man, now I'm like... sorry.
Those are the main ones, though.
Yeah, those are the main ones. I guess you asked me to name two, and I named two. Who would you like to see, Hugh, that you have not?
Number one would definitely be Daft Punk.
Oh,
I want to see Daft Punk so badly. I mean...
Because part of my challenge when I was coming with these names is, like, I think a Dua Lipa concert would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if when she inevitably comes, if I'm going to be, like, banging down the door trying to, you know, get a ticket.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like...
But it would be really cool.
Yeah, to me, it was Frank Ocean for the longest time, but then after, like, I don't know if, he would ever do a standard performance now. Mm-hmm. Like, a standard Frank Ocean performance would be number one. If he came out with the headphones on and just crooned, actually, no, Daft Punk would still be one because, like, seeing, like, One More Time live, Get Lucky Live would just be unbelievable. So Daft Punk would be one. A standard Frank Ocean set would be two, and Fred again would be three. I want to see Fred again so badly.
Oh.
As for the best shows I've been to, I mean, I'll give you five. I'll exclude 1975, and I'll quickly run through five.
Actually, quickly.
Yeah. Flume at Coachella was unreal. The visuals... and just how massive the stages are makes it. They're like 30 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of just like...
in awe of what you're looking at.
Yeah, of the visuals. So his visuals were crazy and it's so loud. So Flume at Coachella was insane. Drake at the Forum, like right up close, was so, so fun. Mm-hmm. So fun. The only problem I had is that the crowd was mostly just filming. Instead of, like, actually... like, I rarely film at concerts, kind of because my friends are constantly filming.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you saw my Instagram post. I posted, like, 25 seconds of one song on 1975, and that was, like, one of two things I recorded. Because I actually want to, like, digest it. So I rarely record, but at Drake, everyone was just standing there with their phones up. And so that kind of watered it down a bit because no one was, like, trying to get into it. Travis Scott Astroworld was insane. It was kind of scary, though. So that definitely brings it down just because I thought my nose was going to get broken.
Mm.
So I was kind of always just kind of in a weird position.
Yeah.
The Weeknd at Coachella was He had a set with Swedish House Mafia. So, oh, dude, it was So first they come out, and they're just Swedish House Mafia. I don't know how often you listen to them. They're
Don't you worry, don't yeah. you worry, John.
That's one of they like kind of are like chain smokers where they have like a pop song on top of a EDM beat. But
they're more like Avicii.
I guess.
I don't want to make that comparison.
Yeah, chain smokers are more like deep, way more EDM. But then The Weeknd comes out and they do like a bunch of renditions of his songs on these mm-hmm. Swedish House Mafia beats. So that was probably the craziest show. But then I was thinking, who's that? The first Rolling Loud I went to, I saw Gunna and Lil Baby
mm-hmm.
right after that dual album came out.
At the peak of their collective powers.
And this was 2018. And it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And what I'm realizing right now is the crowd matters almost more than the actual artist. Because the 1975 crowd was the best crowd I'd been to.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. And because the Travis crowd wanted nothing more than to just kind of get hurt, the actual songs were... Like, songs like Mamacita would come on, and, like, the first thing I would do was make sure that my friends were upright instead of, like, get ready for the song.
Yeah.
So there was, like, we were, like, multitasking the whole time. I remember my friend fell down, and, like, we quickly went to pick him up. And it was just, like, that was back before, obviously, that disaster. But it really watered the show down. And the Drake show, people just kind of wanting to show everyone how close they were to Drake also really watered the show down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was not people just, like, dancing. Like, at the 1975, everyone was dancing. It was cool. But, yeah, if Daft Punk ever tours, I'm spending as much money as I have to get as close as I can to Daft Punk.
Fair enough, man. You and a lot of other people. And on that note, I believe it is time to wrap this up.
Head back into the rain.
Yeah, exactly. So, thank you all for listening to this week's episode. Stay tuned to CITR for all the other great programming that comes up on this network, and we'll hopefully speak to you next week, although kind of knowing our track record, it might be like in 2 weeks because we be on
school
BS sometimes, but
man, school's about to pile up.
Yeah, we'll get her done though, because at least there's no classes to go to, so that frees up schedules anyway.
Oh, I guess we could actually go be in person.
What do you mean?
Do the show live.
Oh, yeah. Well, for next week. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Organize UBC wants to unionize student workers. Are you a research assistant, an academic assistant, or a work learn? For far too long, student workers have endured low wages, no job protection, and poor working conditions. Organize UBC is fighting back, and all they ask is for student workers to sign a card on their website so the union becomes certified. To sign a card and to find out more information, go to organizeubc.cupe.ca.
Richmond broadcast. This is the first Christmas one. I know we ended with a Christmas one last time. Well, anyways, this time we are going to do about half of them Christmas, right? This first one is called That Special Time of Year. It's special time of year for lots of people. However, some people are very